You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone. You know, most of us have heard or said the phrase, oh yeah, he or she is such a narcissist. You know, it's kind of easy to throw that phrase around these days, of course, when we're upset with someone. But today on the show, we're going to be talking about the true definition of a narcissist. You know, we're going to be talking about how we psychologists clinically determine that particular personality disorder in someone. You know, it's interesting because I take a lot of my work here on the air and a lot of my writing from patients. I mean, where else can we take a lot of our experiences in life than from our own life and our own experiences and a lot of the research I've done, you know, as well. And so many folks come in and, you know, share with me stories about how they were verbally abused by their mom or dad or both or another caregiver in their life, and that they always felt like that they weren't worthy. Many of my patients describe how they feel that their parent or parents' needs always came first, and that their feelings or needs were never important. I've also heard a lot of patients whose, you know, parent was very controlling, and therefore they didn't feel like they had a voice or even an identity. And, of course, then, therefore, they have low self-esteem, especially as adults, because they were always trying to please a narcissistic parent. And those feelings of being not enough for anyone usually are transferred out into the world on other people. Not your fault. It's transferred out and projected onto other relationships, social situations, work environments, things like that. Well, today we are going to be talking about growing up with a narcissistic parent, how it has affected us, and what we can do to help ourselves have better feelings about ourselves, get better self-esteem, and learn to be healthier adults. And as always, I invite you to call in and ask questions or share some stories about your similar experiences. The number here on LA Talk Radio is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. If you would rather not put your voice on the air, it's cool, no problem. You can email me, and I will sure look at your questions and try to get back to you at docdocmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. All right, let's get to my guest. Her name is Tina Fuller. She's the author of the book, It's My Turn, How to Gain Freedom from a Manipulating and Self-Centered Parent. Tina has professional experience in the financial services industry. She's a pro. She's had businesses. And then at age 39, she had a life-changing realization. Tina's an avid researcher, author, passionate about helping other people, and it's lovely to welcome her on the show right now. Tina, welcome to the couch.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I really enjoyed reading your book. Terrific read. Fascinating research. And it really, I think, will help a lot of people out with wondering why they feel so down about themselves all the time and on and on and on. So let's get with the story here so we can start helping listeners. Can you share with the folks out there your personal experiences that really fueled you to write this book?
Well, as you said, you feel horrible about yourself internally. And once I realized that my mother was narcissistic, is narcissistic, I went out into the world and tried to, I just dove headfirst and tried to learn everything I could about right. narcissism. I would watch documentaries. I read books. I went and looked in the DSM. Everything I could look at and research. And basically, once I figured out what was going on, which there's plenty of information on what narcissism is,
right.
but not a lot of information on what to do.
That's right.
So, right. So what I decided to do, once I figured out how to handle my mother better for me, mm-hmm. I said, I've got to share this with others. And I just became, as you mentioned, very, very passionate about that. And it truly gives me joy to help others with this. I've got people emailing me and asking questions. So it's wonderful.
Oh, that's lovely. You know, bless your heart, you talk about how, and I did sort of mention this in the intro, how you at 39 had an epiphany. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Absolutely. I was speaking with a neighbor, mm-hmm. and I was having some difficulties with another neighbor. It wasn't my mother. And they were telling me their stories about a neighbor they had, and they said, oh, I think they were such a narcissist. And over time, I've heard that term, and as you mentioned earlier, it's thrown around so easily.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'm going to go home and finally really look that up and see what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled it up on my computer, and the standard form is there's 9 characteristics.
Right.
And as I'm reading them, I got to about number 7. And bells and whistles just started going off in my head.
Yes.
And I read the last couple, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And I ran downstairs, and I told my husband, I know what's wrong with my mother. And he's like, what? Because we've been wondering for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
And that's really how that all came about. It was almost like a shock. I literally felt a shock in my body just to know, and a relief something's wrong with her. It wasn't me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you, girl. There is a relief. That's a perfect word for it, because I think when a lot of clients and, you know, who I work with and a lot of readers check out your book, they're going to say, oh, my God, I thought I thought I was never enough. I really carried around this heavy weight of, oh, I don't know if they'll like me or not. But, I mean, it's just good for you. And there is relief, because it's off your shoulders. It's like, now I get it. And it's terrible to say, but sometimes when we can put sort of an identification, and I hate labels, I really do, even as a psychologist, but when we can put a name to it and say, aha, this is what she has.
Exactly.
It makes it more like, now I can learn about how to deal with it. And good for you, girl.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So, Tina, what are some of the common behavior patterns of narcissism that listeners can really learn about and possibly identify from their parents or family members or people in the workplace, things like that?
Right. Yeah. Well, okay, I'll just run down a few.
Sure.
They require constant attention and need to be in the limelight all the time. For example, if you're out at an event, and this could be a person you're working with, your parent, anyone, as you said, in social settings, you can be at a restaurant, for example, and, oh, it's too cold in here, and they will make everyone move because they are cold. My food isn't good as yours. You know, that kind of thing. They have to bring themselves to the forefront of the conversation.
Right.
If you tell them about a problem you're having, before you know it, within minutes, you are discussing a similar event that happened to them, and you have been just completely ignored.
Yes.
Your situation is now out the window, and you're focusing on their problem.
Right.
So that's one of the key elements there to know that they are. Very self-absorbed.
Yes.
It's beyond just having a large ego. A lot of people, and I think that's why they mistakenly throw the word around a lot, because we do have people with big egos, and that's fairly common.
Yes.
But it's not just the big ego. I mean, it's literally they have to have the attention.
Yes.
They demand it, basically, in any manipulative form.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They sure do, Tina. You know, I'm looking at the DSM. I'm looking at the 4R right now because I, you know, it's right now the DSM-5's a little, they're still working on it. It's out, but it's a little tough to figure out. But this is used right now. It's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders, folks out there. And I was just looking at the criteria here for narcissistic personality disorder. And Tina, you nailed it. grandiose sense of self-importance. Exaggerates achievements and talents. Expects to be recognized as being superior. Okay.
Right.
Preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, yada, yada, power, believes that he or she is special and unique. And that's not the kind of thing that I always encourage and say, you are special here on the show. You do have your own gifts and all that. No, we're talking about someone who can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people.
In other words, they feel they're above the law.
That's that right. Above the law, which kind of seeps into that antisocial personality because there's a lot of lying going on. There's a lot of deception.
Right.
Also, they require excessive admiration, a sense of self-entitlement. What? You know, huh? You did what? interpersonally exploitive, and you're going to share some great stories about that. They take advantage of others to achieve their own ends, basically. And the biggie, too, Tina, that you pointed out, which I really appreciated in your book, It's My Turn, about narcissism, is the lack of empathy. Unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others. And I have patients, and I know you and your clients, they bang their head on the wall. Why can't they hear what I'm saying and feeling? Ain't gonna happen, right?
No, it's not. It absolutely is not going. And what is confusing at times, and depending on their age and how good they are at it, they learn the correct terms or words to use, but they really don't feel it. they see other people expressing love or expressing empathy, but they really don't get it. It's like a facade they put on because they know that's what they're supposed to say, but it's not real.
It's so true. And when a lot of people just have had it with them from time to time in their family, their children, their spouses, their whatever, friendships, work associates, they say, I'm done, and they pull away. Now, a lot of times I think when we pull away from the narcissist, they know, like you said, Tina, they know what to say. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I won't. You know what? You're right. And then that'll last about 2 minutes.
Right. But if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have, you know. They blame you. You are always at fault. They are never wrong. It's always the rest of the world that's crazy. They're always right, and you're wrong.
You've got it. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, author, researcher, business entrepreneur, Tina Fuller. Her latest book is called It's My Turn, How to Gain Freedom from a Manipulating and Self-Centered Parent. Now, I just want to point out, Tina and I are not here, may I speak for you, Tina, to say, these are bad people. We hate them. Let's go Freudian and jump on mommy and daddy. Let's not do that. What we're doing here is we're pointing out that this is a defined disorder. And I know you take it this way as well because you're seasoned and you are a researcher and trained. We have to look at it as counselors, therapists, psychologists. It's a disorder. Not this person's really a jerk. We have to look at it like, oh dear. This must be horrible to be you. You know, it must hurt. It's sad, and it's terrible. And you look at them from the observer point of view, just like you'd look at somebody who has diabetes, who has to have insulin shots, or that kind of thing, or any other, bipolar. They say, oh, that's legitimate, because they have to take medication and their chemicals are off. Well, the chemicals are off also in this disorder. Speaking about which, Tina, what's the cause of narcissistic personality disorder?
Well, I'm not sure I mentioned, I'm not a professional therapist. I just speak upon my experience and my research. But everything that I have read and heard and research, as you mentioned, It's basically something that happens to a person in, something happens to them in childhood,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a real tragedy or a perceived tragedy.
Yes.
It could be a divorce. It could be maybe they're getting beaten by a parent. You don't know. And they don't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, which is kind of ironic, a person with narcissism comes across as being very egotistical, mm-hmm. egotistical, but actually inside their self-esteem has been literally crushed. So
yes.
they're actually really, really insecure. They just come across protecting themselves by coming off as, oh, I'm great. But inside they really feel horrible.
Yes.
And that's the truth.
Yep.
And so it's a perceived tragedy or could be a real tragedy. And
yes.
this is their form of protection against any more emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I came up with.
Okay. No, beautifully put. And you got it from your research as well. I was just reading here from the DSM. It says, although the narcissist may not show it outwardly, criticism mm-hmm. may haunt these individuals and mm-hmm. may leave them feeling humiliated, degraded, hollow, and empty. They may
right.
react with disdain, rage, or defiant counterattack.
Mm-hmm.
Such experiences can lead to social withdrawal or an appearance of humility. But
right.
usually you see the grandiosity in it all.
Right.
You know, it's always
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
It's always there. So
right.
And also, you know, they are. A lot of them are abused. A lot of them have had horrible upbringings. I tell my patients to a lot of times look at their parents and their upbringing if they, mm-hmm. you know, have a narcissistic parent or caregiver, whoever that may be, grandma, grandpa, whoever, aunts,
mm-hmm.
uncles. What were their parents like? What were their grandparents like?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have information? Because it is sometimes in, like they say in the DSM, it's not only what we see in our environments and how we suffer and how we have to adopt that personality to survive, but it's genetically inherited. There are certain genes that they're learning about, mm. just as bipolar and schizophrenia mm. and depression, that may be inheritable,
mm.
may be passed down. But
mm-hmm.
I think for the most part, as you said, Tina, it is the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So in your book, It's My Turn, you talk about how a narcissistic parent perceives same-sex children to sort of be an extension and reflection of his or herself. And I hear this a lot. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. They, it's almost like living vicariously through your child. They want to be great and special. So they, it's almost like having a child and it's like a puppet.
Mm.
They want the child to do exactly what they tell them to, how mm-hmm. wonderful they are. And but it's really a, not about the child and their achievements. It's about how it reflects upon them.
Mm-hmm.
My child has straight A's. My child, oh, they get that from me. It's not how good or wonderful your child really is. It's all about them. They take responsibility for all the achievements.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I love your examples in your book. Can you share
those
yes. with us, maybe about how mom sort of gave you no identity or how you felt like you weren't separated? It was all about her?
It is. And basically what would happen would be if I tried to draw something, and this is speaking to the control as well,
right.
she would say, well, it's good, but you might have done this. I would have done it this way.
Mm.
So it's almost like you're getting a double dip. You're getting a, it's okay, but I would have done it this way.
Mm.
Another thing, if I drew anything else, she would just take all the responsibility for it. If I got a good mark, well, you get that from me.
Ugh.
You know, that type of thing.
Right.
I write poetry. Well, that comes from our side of the family. I write, you know, that type
yeah.
of thing. But and so everything you are is taken away. You have no identity.
Yes.
You, there's no individualism whatsoever.
Yes. Yes.
And if you do something wrong, like we all make mistakes, it's, well, that's your father's family.
Oh, that's right.
Had
that's
you
right.
listened to me, this
that's
wouldn't
right.
have happened.
Exactly. Oh,
that
my
type of thing.
Gosh, Tina. You know, so it's so true. Tina, we have mm-hmm. a caller on the line, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to handle this? Do you
sure.
like the way I just roll it over to you, girl?
Absolutely. That's fine. I'm used to it.
I bet you are. See if we can pull this person up. You're on the air with Tina Fuller and Dr. Michelle. Hi, who's this? Are you there? Let's see if we can do this.
Okay.
Okay, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle and Tina. All right, I think they're hanging on, but I don't know if their audio is up. So if you want to call in, folks, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815 is the number if you have any questions. We're talking about Tina's new book. She's the researcher. She's the author. It's called It's My Turn, How to Gain Freedom from a Manipulating and Self-Centered Parent. And we're talking about the particular mental disorder, narcissistic personality disorder. And we do throw that word around a lot, don't we, Tina?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people out there, oh, he's a narcissist. My boss is, well, okay. But when we really get down to, as you did, really researching it, defining it, there really are characteristics which define mm-hmm. this disorder. And mm-hmm. it's very sad.
It is. And another thing to mention, there's, basically, I broke it down into three ranges, which is low, medium, and high.
Right.
And we're all different. We're all human. We're all unique.
Yes.
So every person isn't going to fit exactly. We're not cookie cutters.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We're going to be a little bit different in some of the things, and that's kind of why I broke that down,
mm-hmm.
because a person that might display one of the items may not display another. Someone else may not display that item. They may display another characteristic.
Right.
So we're all different.
Boy, we really are. And, you know, it's probably easier on the children of narcissistic parents who have a little bit of a low, but still some of it. Medium, high, forget about it. It's very tough to grow up with a, you know, a sense of self. You know, I have a client who I used to work with years ago, and she would tell me that when she was almost a young adult, her narcissistic mom would pick out her clothes for her. She
mm-hmm.
would tell her how to wear her makeup, how mm-hmm. to do her. She would tell her she was not attractive to men and probably would end up single. She would tell her personality was not as gregarious as mom's. Mm. And she wasn't as pretty as mom. So she had to work on becoming more outward. Just on and on. It wasn't, it wasn't given in a gentle way either. It was criticism.
Well, exactly. And for example, I did not, unfortunately, attend college because I was a female, and females, and my mom is 91 and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
And we have Italian heritage, so very family-oriented, which is a good thing,
sure.
But you get married and have babies, and that's pretty much, you know, that's it.
That's right.
But, yeah, so she would infer that, well, it takes you a long time to get something, but once you get it, boy, you've got it. It's kind of like saying you're a little slow, but you'll get it if you just hang in there. So that's what I grew up with, almost feeling like I was maybe just slightly mentally challenged.
Mm-hmm.
So you carry that throughout mm-hmm. the rest of your life.
Yes.
And if you don't know that it's like, and in the book I refer it as being on a merry-go-round.
Yes, you sure do.
It's, if you're not, you don't get off that merry-go-round of narcissism, you're going to go around and around forever, and you'll never see
true.
What's going on in your life. And if you don't change it, you're gonna grow up with all these mm-hmm. self-sabotaging thoughts.
Oh boy, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of self-sabotage going on. Now, you talk about some of the traits that adult children usually adopt in order to emotionally survive growing up. And in your book, I know that you really got some of those traits because you had to cope with life and figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. What are some of the common traits?
Well, first of all, narcissists tend to be very negative people. If something horrible has happened to them, they can pretty much guarantee it's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
At least this is my experience now with my mother.
Yes.
Very untrusting. Mm-hmm. A lot of anger mm-hmm. or rage is there.
Common.
As a matter of fact, I think I mentioned in the book, I would wake up in the morning, and we're only talking maybe 6-7 years ago here.
Yeah.
And I'm now 49. And I would wake up in the morning frustrated and almost like a little bit angry, and I would be eating breakfast, and I'm like, why am I, there's nothing going wrong today, why am I upset, this doesn't make any sense,
right?
And so you kind of wake up to, that's what I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
If you grow up in turmoil, then that's what you're used to.
Right.
It's kind of like the devil you know. You know, you
right.
just kind of, oh, okay, well, this is how I grew up, so I'm going to just continue this on.
Yes.
And it's sad. It's very sad. But until you realize what's going on, you can't change it.
Mm-mm.
And you just continue the patterns. Because it's like a brainwashing, basically.
Exactly. It sure is. And that's why a lot of people, you know, come and try to get therapy when they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s,
mm-hmm.
even,
mm-hmm.
You know, 60s. Why
mm-hmm.
do I still feel like this?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, again, mean to go Erickson or, you know, Freud or Jung on them,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, what was it within your environment that made you, you know, made you feel so bad? Let's talk about some of that stuff. And there are a lot of things that have been sort of blocked in order to
right.
survive.
That's
you know?
Right.
So
your emotions
yeah.
are, you kind of have to shut down.
Yes.
And protect yourself. And that's what I did as well.
You did, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless your
oh,
heart.
Yeah.
Bless your heart, honey. And you're right, because, it, you know, that old saying, neurons that fire together, wire together. It's how,
absolutely.
It's how we learn. You
mm-hmm.
know, we have habits of, you know, mom coming in and causing chaos first thing in the morning to you, and you have these neural patterns that are well in habit now,
right,
and you're
right.
used to, like, just like, you know, what they call a knee-jerk reaction, you're used to getting up in the morning with chaos. So you're
That's
ready
right.
to kind of defend yourself, and you also have fear, and you have anger, all
mm-hmm.
of your defense mechanisms, but when it's in there for so long, those patterns, you're going to be doing it
mm-hmm.
for years until you
That's
say,
right.
wait a minute. I'm in a safe environment. I'm with a loving man. I have great kids. I've made my life good so far. I can do this.
Mm-hmm. So, and then you all have this feeling of, but why do I feel so lousy?
Right.
That's really what the problem. Well, I remember waking up as a child. I must have been about 7.
Right.
And I love my brother dearly.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he did pass away in 1991.
Sorry, honey.
From AIDS.
Not sorry.
And I would get up at, like, say, 5 in the morning
mm-hmm.
so that I would have peace from her and him because,
yeah.
like I said, I love him dearly. We were close and all of that, but his personality was very domineering.
Yes.
And so he would be telling me, oh, do this, do that, and then I've got her telling me, do this, do that, and it was just too much. And I would wake up early just to be quiet.
Oh,
if that's really sad for a 7-year-old
oh,
kid to have
God.
To do that.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, that's really a very honest occurrence. I would do it often just
yes.
to have that peace and quiet.
Oh, bless your heart. Oh, that is so difficult. Can someone with a narcissistic personality disorder ever change?
Well, in what I've found is if they, most narcissists cannot accept that there's anything wrong with them anyway.
Right.
Now, if you have a very low grade of narcissism,
mm-hmm.
I really think that there are some changes that can be made. But like I said, it's got to be quite low. Medium to high, you may as well just forget it.
Yeah.
I believe my mother was even told that she was narcissistic from a therapist, but of course, her reaction would be, oh, they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yes.
I'm not going back to them. They're nuts. They just want my money. That kind of reaction.
Right. And they do go through a lot of therapists, by the way.
That's
a little
right.
note out there to psychologists. If someone tells right. you they've been to 10 and they've never helped them, that's called
right.
a red flag in our industry.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. And it's not, obviously, it's not the doctor, it's you.
That's
you know,
right.
for example, a good example of the same thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
we've moved in many, many neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
and they cannot make friends
right.
very easily or maintain a friendship. They can have
Correct.
Acquaintances and it'll start off good, but as soon as you cross the narcissist, they're done with you.
Yep.
So it's not the neighborhoods, it's you. But they
oh,
would
yeah.
never see that. They
right.
can't see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Tina, it's so true. In case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my special guest today, it's Tina Fuller, is a wonderful author. She has been a researcher for years and has shared her story and research with us in her latest book, It's My Turn, How to Gain Freedom from a Manipulating and Self-Centered Parent, one who has what we say narcissistic personality disorder. Tina, you say that when we grow up with a parent who has this problem, we are really affected by it. no matter how we think we've distanced ourselves. I can handle it. You know, I hear this all the time from patients. I can handle it. I got it. Mm-hmm. Nope. This is when we're more independent adults. But mm-hmm. you suggest that we really have to face and accept what has happened before we can really let it go and truly be free from it. And this is the first part of getting yourself healthy. How do we do that?
Okay. Basically, in my opinion, a child of a narcissist falls under one of three areas. You either conform mm-hmm. and try to please the parent. You either are a rebel and mm-hmm. you fight with the parent, or you are a runner and you just distance yourself as far as you can get away from them.
Right.
What I actually personally did was I wrote her a letter. Now, this is a letter you do not want to mail.
Right.
This is for you, not mm-hmm. for them.
Yes.
And getting out your anger, that will really, really help you. Mm-hmm. You did this to me, and this made me feel this way, and mm-hmm. go back as far as you can and get all of that out.
Yes.
It's tough to accept that your parent has a personality disorder.
Sure.
I mean, it's a wonderful relief for a couple hours or maybe even a couple of days, but then the reality sinks in, and you're like, you know what? They've really got they're sick.
Sure.
They're really, really, and so it's even a little bit of a shock.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But putting it down in black and white mm-hmm. will definitely help you.
Yes.
And that will help you accept, wow, look at all these terrible things. I've mm-hmm. got to get myself free from this. This is not healthy for me. And it will continue if you don't change. They will do this till the day they die. And even if they die, you still have the damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to get this out of you if you want to be healthy and calm and find peace.
Yes.
And that's what I've found.
That's a wonderful tool.
Mm-hmm. But do not mail that letter.
Right.
Because it won't do you any good.
No.
You'll just start an argument.
Right. And it's for you to get those feelings, get in touch, and
right.
and remember, and then, you know, at some point we will never forget, but at some point we have to kind of let loose of
Absolutely.
All those. But getting it down, like you said, is just lovely. So, you know, there's a great program also you suggest. You have some examples and exercises in your book. Can you talk about your PACE? It's in an acronym, PACE,
right.
Program to help people get through this.
Sure. PACE actually stands for protect, mm-hmm. accept, change, and empower.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing you need to do when you have realized that your parent is narcissistic mm-hmm. is protect yourself. And what I mean by that is protect your feelings so that they can't harm you. It's a little step that you can take. You would pretend there's, let's say, a cement wall between you,
mm-hmm.
or you're in a bubble, or whatever creative thing you want to come up with.
Yeah.
I just kind of used a rubber suit for myself.
Oh, wow.
And anything she said mm-hmm. would bounce off of me.
Mm.
And that it'll work. I mean, but like I said, you don't use what I did necessarily. You can make up your own, you know, your own tool.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you protect yourself, because all they do is they're like a snake. They just keep striking
mm-hmm.
until they get you angry, and then you're in an argument with them, because that's kind of their goal, so that you will finally cower and do what they want you to do.
Yes.
And then accept, we kind of went over already, which is accept they really have this problem.
Yes.
And it's okay. It's not you. It's them.
Yes.
And then change. That's a little bit unfair, but unfortunately, even though they have wronged you, you're still the one that has to change.
Correct.
You have to change how you interact with that parent,
mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing obviously is not working, so we need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to talk to them differently, and it's tough.
Oh,
it's really
God, it
hard,
is.
Especially if you've never stood up for yourself before.
Right.
It's a lot of work, and it's not going to fix overnight.
Mm-mm.
But if I can do it, you can do it, because my mom is like in the high plus range.
Yes, yes.
And then the last one is empower, which mm-hmm. would be working on your self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
Getting yourself out there and trying to do new things like mm-hmm. gardening, drawing, and pick little things. Don't don't say, okay, I'm going to be the president of my company in a week. You can't, you know, make them realistic goals.
Yes.
That type of thing.
Exactly.
And even just standing up for yourself, and I found this personally for myself, just standing up to them and setting some boundaries with them does empower you.
Yes.
You get stronger just from that alone. So, yes, try the gardening or the drawing or the whatever you want to try, cooking, whatever, or golf or whatever if you're a man or woman. It doesn't matter. You can try anything that you kind of have an interest in, but just, I can't do that.
Yes.
You don't believe in yourself.
Right.
Well, try it. Just try it. And it'll happen, and that will empower you as well. But the boundaries and such are huge as far as empowerment.
Yes. The boundaries. What are some of the tools you suggest for creating boundaries? I know it's difficult sometimes for people to do.
Well, for example, if you're on the phone or you know you're going to talk to your parent, make sure you're protected. You have your rubber suit on or whatever you've chosen.
Right.
Have that on first before you talk to them. Especially if we're going to go see them. But if you're going to talk to them, even on the phone, have that ready.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, they'll start picking at you about something. Oh, are you still wearing that awful dress or that horrible blue suit I told you looks bad on you? Well, you know what, Mom? I like it, and or Dad, I like it. It's not for you, so let's talk about something else.
Yep.
And you move on. And they're, when you change, this is very important, when you change what you do, they are not going to like it. And I'm just telling you that now. They are going to get angrier because they, whatever worked on you as a child, they are still doing it.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because a narcissist only lets you get to a certain age. I know that sounds really bizarre.
No, it's true.
But you get to a certain point of maybe 16 or whatever age in their brain they've chosen, and they don't allow you to get any older. They will always try to control you.
Yeah.
You know, I have 60 and 70-year-old half-siblings, and she's still doing the same thing.
Oh, God.
It's amazing. Oh, it's amazing.
Have you had a chance to talk with your siblings and just sort of say, oh, yeah, this is what we're dealing with?
Yes. I did try, and that's an important fact, too.
Mm-hmm.
The runner, you will be able to reach.
Mm-hmm.
The rebel, obviously, you would be able to reach. The conformer, if they're already an adult, that's going to be a real challenge because, unfortunately, the conformer tends to take on a lot of the personality of the narcissist.
Right.
They are not necessarily narcissistic, but they will take on the traits and the same beliefs. And you're not going to get through to them, unfortunately. I tried to save all of them, you know.
Oh, like, bless your heart, yes.
What? Guess what? Well, you know what? You can't.
Yes.
You have to save yourself because, like I said, they're not all going to agree.
No.
Agree with you.
Yep. Yes. They're not. And, you know, you're just sort of revealing your feelings and your experiences and opening yourself up to share. And I encourage listeners to do this as well with their siblings. If they have been dealing with a narcissistic parent, reach out and calmly just say, you know, how have you felt as an adult now? How did you feel? I remember feeling, you know.
Well, what's funny is I had was going for an operation, and I was in a really big jam. I had small children at the time, and I was to leave them at my parents' house.
Oh, boy.
And, well, this is way back when, and I didn't know what was going on yet. And I said, you know, my husband will bring them, and then if you don't mind, can you bring them back? The doctor said not for anybody to leave me alone for a certain amount because of dangerous. So she said, well, I don't know if we're going to feel like driving that day.
Yes.
And it's like, what? So I broke down
in
tears.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah.
Tina.
And I called my sister, who is about, I think she's about 17 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, has this happened to you? I was crying.
Yes.
And we were not close.
Yes.
At all. I mean, more like an aunt, you know, kind of situation because they're so much older. And I asked her if this type of thing, and she goes, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like she's doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even though it's a separate family, it happened all over again. And they would just repeat the patterns over and over if they could because they don't change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gosh, so, it's so true.
And now we're tight. We call each other probably once, twice a day.
Oh, that's so lovely.
I lost my brother, but I gained a sister.
Oh, no, it's terrific.
Nice. Yeah.
And we're just skimming through some of the helpful information here because there's a lot more detail in Tina's book, folks. It's My Turn is the name of the book, How to Gain Freedom from a Manipulating and Self-Centered Parent. And, you know, Tina Fuller does give exercises, and she also has you really thinking about a lot of things and how you've responded to a narcissistic parent in order to survive mentally and the patterns that are instilled with us as well. And there are really other suggestions. And like you said, Tina, you just touched on the tip. Of some of the things to really try to take care of yourself and realize that you are deserving of things in your life and finding that you are okay, reaching out socially, getting involved in a sport you enjoy, taking care of your body, start walking. If you don't want to join a gym and you feel goofy, take a walk. Treat yourself well. Do things that bring you joy and small steps, like you say, Tina, right? Small baby steps.
Right, and the exercises in the book are not hard or long or 6, 7, 8 pages. I hate books like that, why I chose to make mine really simple.
Yes,
and I only have two, so it will clarify things for you so that you can see. Actually, is my parent a narcissist, or are they just really, really selfish?
Yeah,
because this is something that's gone on forever. This is not something that you. You ask them to do you a favor, and this time they're like, I don't feel like it, or it's not that. This is an ongoing, all the time affair.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, you have to just. And I love your helpful suggestions in your chapter of your PACE program. It's protect, accept, change, and empower. And you know, it's all taking care of yourself. And kind of relearning, right? And accepting what happened. It's scary to say, well, my parent has, you know, a mental disorder. Gee, I thought parents were supposed to be there for me. And this, like you said, Tina, the sad realization that you can't, we all want to look up to a parent. We all want to make them on a pedestal and take care of us.
Right. Well, that's their job. They're supposed to. And I just want to interject here. I have two children.
Yeah.
And this is a very important point to protect them from the narcissist, because the narcissist will try to plant the seeds in your children.
Oh yeah,
I've seen that firsthand, and I'm like,
no,
we're not going down that road.
That's right.
It's very important, and I'm not saying to teach them to hate their grandparent or anything that.
No,
you just have to. What I called it was, well, grandma's in a mood, so let's just know. Do something else, or, you know, that kind of thing. And then when they get older, I want them to read my book, because I want them to really understand what narcissism is. And if they meet a potential spouse or a boss, they'll know what to do and how to handle. And if it's a potential spouse, run.
Yes.
Don't just run in the other direction.
Yeah,
because it's a terrible life. And it is very, very difficult. And the other point I wanted to make is, if you have your other parent is still alive, you can reach out to them if you're comfortable. It depends on the situation as to what reaction you may get from them.
Correct.
A lot of times the other spouse, they're already divorced.
Right.
Because they can't take it anymore.
No.
In my situation, my dad had his own issues and has stayed with her for over 50 years.
My goodness.
So, unfortunately, I have cut off communications with her at this time.
Yes.
And my dad now has cut off communication with me.
That's too
because
bad.
Because he has to be loyal to her. But I know he'll come around later.
Yes.
It's just, and I have to understand, and I made myself understand, okay, this is where he's coming from. So I'm not angry with him.
Right.
He just can't, he can't be disloyal to her, so I understand.
Right. And good for you. You know, it's his survival at this point, right? And always has been. How can I, you know, get to it? And by the way, you do give some great information on why people would marry a narcissist in your book, and we're running out of time, and I wanted to touch on that. But this is a great tease, so folks can pick up your book. What's the best way to get your book and get a hold of you if they're more interested in your work?
Okay, well, it's on Amazon Kindle, for those of you who have Kindle. And then I'm also, if you prefer the paperback, it's on Lulu.com.
Mm-hmm.
And all you would have to do on either site, on Amazon or Lulu.com, would just be type in It's My Turn or my name, Tina Fuller, and it comes right up.
Super.
And so that, or you can contact me at Tina Fuller at Mac.com.
Great.
And if you have questions, I'm more than willing to answer your questions.
Mm-hmm.
I do that all the time. So.
Bless your heart. Tina, thank you for being for folks out there. Thank you so much for helping people out and for researching this and sharing your experiences, being brave enough to talk about these things. And it's
a great
book. And by the way, everybody will be able to listen to the interview tomorrow if they want to replay or download. It will be up and ready to go with content, information, and also information on how to find out more, how to get your book and contact you.
Great. I hope we've reached a lot of people and hope I've answered many questions today.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, thank you so much, Tina, for being
a
great guest, and do take good care.
Okay, you too.
All right, keep in touch.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, once again, Tina Fuller, special guest author of the book, It's My Turn, and it's my turn to go away now. You can stay on the couch if you like here on LA Talk Radio. More great shows coming up, and of course, the latest of what's going on in the world on CBS News in just a bit. Next week, we're going to find out how to be ageless forever. Ooh, that's a great book coming up. Do take care of yourselves first, and then you'll be great for other people. That's the way it works. It's not narcissistic. Thanks for listening. This is Dr. Michelle. Have a great day. Bye-bye.